What is prayer? In many ways, prayer is a simple thing to do. But sometimes we can have a limited view of what prayer actually is. Now, don't get me wrong. Prayer is a means of supplication and making requests to God. It's just that prayer is also more than that. Prayer is both talking to God and having a relationship with Him. Prayer is making yourself available to God and allowing Him to make Himself available to you. Prayer is a way to ask God for provision for tomorrow and a means by which He provides the sustenance we need for today. So we pray not to get our own way, but rather we pray to align ourselves to God's will. We pray not for things that might create independence from God, but rather we pray as an expression of dependence upon God. Yes, God loves to hear our prayers and requests. He listens to them, He delights in them, and He responds to them. It's just that prayer is also where we can confess our sins, praise His goodness, listen to His voice, and be reminded of truth. Prayer isn't just a way to ask for more fruit, but through prayer, we begin to bear more fruit. Prayer isn't just words spoken at specific times during the day. It's living with a mindset that allows God to transform you throughout all of your days. So don't think of prayer as just an activity done before meals or bedtime, but rather, think of prayer as a way of life.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to week one of our series, Prayer Is, where many times we're confused as to exactly what prayer is. I mean, prayer is what exactly? Prayer is fill in the blank. We're seeking to answer that question as we go through this series. Every week we're going to have a prayer is statement that will be on the screen, so keep your eyes open. Don't want to miss those statements when they come up. Also, if you have not already started, tomorrow is day one in our prayer books that we handed out last week. Those books are an awesome resource. We highly encourage you guys to use them. They work very much like a devotional book. There's 5 days a week for 8 weeks, and each week's worth of devotions ties in directly with the sermon from that week. So if you don't have one, please stop in at our Connection Center and grab one after service. And also, we want you guys to feel free to come to us and give us feedback and tell us about what the series is doing in your life, how prayer is affecting your life. So please feel free to come to me, Mel, Isaiah, and just have a conversation with us about what prayer is doing in your life. We're really excited about this series and how God is going to use it in the life of our church. We want to encourage you to be praying for our church and to be praying for our community at this time. But more than anything, we want you to be excited about your relationship with Jesus Christ, and we want you to be excited about prayer as well. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Now first, I just want to say that this is one of my favorite verses in the entire Old Testament because it's packed with so much good stuff. It's awesome. It says, "If my people who are called by my name," Old Testament times he's talking about the nation of Israel. But now that Jesus has come and he's died and rose again, now that the church has been established, when God is talking about the people who are called by his name, he's talking about Christians. He's talking about us. And so if my people who are called by my name, if Christians would humble themselves. I mean, that's huge, isn't it? How many of us struggle with humbling ourselves? But if we, Christians, would humble ourselves and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear us from heaven and he'll forgive our sins and he will heal our land. And what that means for us today is that he'll heal our hearts, he'll heal our churches, he'll heal our communities, he'll heal our nation, he will even heal our world. If my people humble themselves and pray. Imagine what our lives would look like. imagine what First Christian Church would look like if we were a church that prayed so much and spread the gospel so much that there wouldn't be enough room in this auditorium to fill all the people that lined up on our doors on Sunday morning. Imagine Neoga becoming a community that had almost no crime, almost no poverty. And imagine a school system where teachers and administrators didn't wonder what was going on in the kids' lives when they were at home. Imagine a nation where we were no longer split in division, where we no longer fought over every pointless issue under the sun. And imagine a world with no more hunger and no more war. Imagine if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Imagine. That's the promise of God. And it's a mighty promise to provide healing of unimaginable proportions if my people would pray. But in spite of this great promise that we have, many Christians don't pray or rarely pray. It's like a fish who wants to breathe but won't swim. It's like a baseball player who wants to go up there and hit a home run but won't swing the bat. Now, I think all Christians, myself included, I think all of us struggle with this at one point or another. For some reason, one reason or another, despite this great promise that we have from God, many Christians don't pray or rarely pray. Maybe it's because we're mad at God. Maybe something bad has happened and we're angry with Him, whether it be death, divorce, disease, disability. Something bad has happened and we get mad at God and we stop praying. Or maybe it's because our faith is small. I mean, oh man, God, He did some awesome things before, but that was back there. That was 2,000 years ago. God doesn't move like that today, does He? And our faith gets small, and we stop praying. Or maybe it's laziness or apathy. Man, I'd rather watch TV right now. Or I'd rather play video games right now. I'd rather play some Sudoku, maybe do a crossword puzzle, crochet, something. I would rather do anything else than pray right now. Or maybe it's because we don't believe that prayer does anything. And that's something we're going to talk about later on in this series. But it's this attitude that says, I've experienced nothing good that has come from prayer, so I don't pray. For one reason or another, despite this great promise that we have in 2 Chronicles, many Christians don't pray or rarely pray. But if you stop to think about it, those are some of the exact same reasons that we stop investing in people. Those are some of the exact same reasons why we stop building our relationship with others. I mean, have you ever stopped investing in someone because you were mad at them? Look what this person did to me. I cannot believe that they would do that. I'm not speaking to them anymore. And then we cut off the relationship. Have you ever stopped investing in someone because you stopped believing in them? For one reason or another, we start thinking less of someone. Maybe we even start looking down upon them. And the next thing you know, we've stopped investing in them because our faith in them as a person has become diminished. Have you ever stopped investing in someone because you were lazy or apathetic? I mean, we just don't feel like doing it anymore sometimes. It's like, man, I could invest in that person right now, but I'm tired. And I would rather veg out and catch up on Netflix than invest in my relationships. Have you ever stopped investing in someone because you think it's just not worth it? And that friendship is just not going anywhere. Maybe you thought, you know what? I'm not getting anything out of this relationship, so I'm done. And relationships in our culture right now are actually at an all-time low. We live in a culture that is saturated by social media and online dating. And those two things in and of themselves are not bad, but it's what we do with them that then becomes bad. Because it's very, very high gain. with very little risk involved. When you're looking at a computer screen, it's all about what I can get out of it and very little about what I have to put forth as a risk. Maybe that's why the church has been in decline in recent years. People don't want to invest in relationships like they used to. I mean, think about it. 50 years ago, people hung out on the front porch. Where do people hang out now? We hang out on the back porch with a 6 or 8 foot tall privacy fence so nobody can see us and so we don't interact with anybody. People don't invest in relationships like they used to. People don't invest in their relationship with Christ sometimes either. I mean, God's asking us to humble ourselves, but man, humbling myself, that's risky. Man, that is way too risky. I'm not going to humble myself. Are you kidding me? The cost is way too high. I'm not doing that. And you would be exactly right. The cost is very high. But so was Christ's death on the cross. The cost of humbling ourselves is the exact same thing that it cost Jesus. It cost Jesus his life. Humbling ourselves, that high risk, equals death. But it is a death where we die to our old selves. We die to our old way of life and we become born again as new creations. We lose our old lives and we gain a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's like this picture. Take a good look at it for a moment. God is asking us to humble ourselves and give up something that we are desperately grasping onto so that he can give us something better. How many of us struggle with this? Let's be honest. To where we are desperately grasping a hold of something and are afraid to let it go. But God's got something even better in store for us. Hear me, church. Sometimes we have to give up something that we love in order to gain something that we love more. Something infinitely better. And what we gain is a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship with God Almighty through His Son Jesus. If my people would humble themselves and what? Pray. So if you've got your bulletin and you've got a pen and you're the kind of person that takes notes, this is the one thing that I want you to get out of today's message. The one thing. Prayer is about a relationship. Prayer is about a relationship. There's a reason why we are told to pray without ceasing. It's because it is a constant stream of communication between us and God. Did you know that you can talk to God anytime you want? He is always accessible, but we don't know that and we don't live in it if we don't pray. Maybe you're the type of person that doesn't value relationships very much, but I would wager that at the heart of every single human being, there is this desperate desire to have just one person, anybody, just one person who would get me, just one person who would truly know who I am. Just one person who would truly care. We are a people wired for relationship. And according to research done by the University of Minnesota, healthy relationships can help us live longer, deal with stress, be healthier, and feel richer. But those who don't have healthy relationships often experience depression, decreased immune function, and higher blood pressure. But if you disagree, don't. It's not me who's saying that. It's the University of Minnesota. But if that's how relationships work with people, imagine what a relationship with God does. I mean, people with a healthy relationship with God experience love, joy, hope, and peace, among many other things. But is it no mistake that when we are the furthest from God is when we most often feel unloved and when we feel hopeless and joyless and have very little peace? Prayer is about a relationship. And believe it or not, your relationship with God works very much the same way your relationship with other people work. The problem is, many of us don't approach relationships in a very healthy way. Most of the time, it's because we won't humble ourselves, and we approach relationships from a very selfish perspective. Let me illustrate this. People experience and show love in a variety of ways. Sometimes we want to be loved a certain way, don't we? Each and every one of us, there are ways that we feel more loved than in other ways. We want to experience love in a particular way. And we say things like, oh, honey, thank you so much for cleaning up the house today. You took out the trash, you cleaned the kitchen. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you. Or we say things like, oh, I really appreciated that you took me out to dinner and a movie tonight. Oh, that was amazing. Thank you. Sometimes we want to be loved a certain way. But conflict arises when we want to be loved one way and we refuse to love others the way that they want to be loved. And what I'm talking about is this. Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. And if that's something that you have not heard of, and it's a book maybe you've heard of but not read, I highly encourage you to pick up this book. It's an amazing read. And according to Mr. Chapman, the five love languages are, they're on your screen, they're words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. If you spend a lot of time encouraging other people and being kind with your words in order to lift people up, then you are most likely a words of affirmation person. And you are the kind of person that also wants to experience love that way. Now, if your spouse complains and says something like, man, we just don't spend enough time together, then your spouse's love language is probably quality time. And it would behoove you as their spouse to spend some quality time with them. Now, Keith, what do the five love languages have to do with prayer? Well, like I said a moment ago, your relationship with God works very much the same way your relationship with other people work. People experience and show love in a variety of ways, and one of the ways that God wants to experience our love is through prayer. Because prayer is about a relationship. And so many times we get selfish or we get lazy and apathetic with our relationships. So many times we get excited about football. We get more excited about football than we do about prayer. And sometimes it holds the same, it's the same thing with church, man. I can't come to church today, Pastor. I can't miss the Bears game. Or maybe you're a Packers fan. Oh, can't miss the Packers game. Do we have any Cowboys fans in here? My condolences. But you guys get the point. And I'm just teasing Isaiah. How many fathers would rather go to a ball game than spend time with their sons and daughters? Or how many wives would rather get their hair done than say a kind word to their husbands? And how many of us would rather watch TV or surf the internet than spend time praying to God? You see, God doesn't just want us to know how much He loves us. He does. He definitely wants you to know how much He loves you because He loves you so much He went to the cross for you. But He doesn't just want you to know that. He also wants us to love Him back. You remember the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Sometimes I think the reason that we fail to love God is because we have forgotten who He is, we have forgotten what He has done for us, or maybe for some of us, we just have never met Him. So let me remind you, God is the all-powerful one who set the entire universe into motion. Planets, stars, galaxies exist because He made them. He spoke them into existence. The very eyes in your head focus and receive light so that you can see. And your sight works in such an intricate and designed way that it was only by the work of an all-knowing creator that they could have been put into place. And when mankind was helpless and condemned by their sin, God humbled Himself and became human, was born of a virgin, and lived among us for a time, and gave his life on the cross for us, dying an agonizing and brutal death to pay the price for our sins. And then, within 3 days, he rose again to defeat death for all time, so that when we die, we don't have to stay in the grave. We can be united with him in heaven. He is our source, and he is the one who gives us purpose. That is who God is. And our response should be one of excitement and praise. And we should be saying something along the lines of, what can I do for you, Lord? Lord, what can I do for you? Look at everything that you have done for me. What can I do for you? People who think highly of God cannot help but celebrate him and declare his praise. They recognize who God is. They love God for who he is. And they give God the only thing that we can possibly give him. If you think about it, what can we give God? He made everything. Everything belongs to him anyway, doesn't it? So what's the one thing that we can give to God? Our hearts and our lives. And praise definitely comes from that. Psalm 34 says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Does that sound like you? Why or why not? Now you may be thinking, man, I just don't feel like praying. Man, I just don't feel like it. I don't know how many times I have felt that, or I've heard a story of someone who has felt like that, and they come to me and like, Keith, man, I'm just not feeling prayer. But when they humbled themselves and they prayed, oh, the difference that it made in their lives. And the next thing you know, they're not struggling with it anymore. They're praying all the time. Oh, Keith, man, I just don't know. Prayer, for heaven's sake, get out of your chair and get on your knees and spend some time praying and investing in the one who loves you more than you could possibly ever imagine. Spend time praying to the one who died on the cross for you so that he can spend eternity with you, because he loves you so much, he does not want you to go to hell. We need to remember what God has done for us and accept his invitation for relationship. Because God isn't this evil judge that sits up in the clouds with a gavel waiting to pronounce judgment on all of us. The reason why we exist and the reason why the world keeps going on the way it is because he wants to give all of us the chance to come to repentance. Because he wants all of us to be with him in heaven. Every single one of us. The God who made everything wants you to be his friend. I mean, I think it's pretty awesome alone that he wants to be our friend, but he wants you to be his friend. The God who made everything. Do you understand how big that is? How awesome that is? You know, we spend time conversing with our friends, don't we? I mean, why not spend time conversing with God in prayer? I mean, we have access to his throne room, to his very presence. He wants to change us, and he wants to change our world for the better. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And don't be fooled, my friends. God does not need our prayers. He doesn't need our prayers. He wants them, but God doesn't need our prayers. We are the ones that need the prayer. But God chooses to move in response to our prayers, and he will not move without them. Let me illustrate this. In Exodus chapter 17, Moses is leading the nation of Israel, and Israel is about to go to war against the nation of Amalek. And it says in Exodus 17, it says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Remember Moses, he had the staff. he threw the staff on the ground in front of Pharaoh and it turned into a snake, and then he grabbed his tail, it turned back into a staff again. You know, he put it into the water at the Red Sea and the Red Sea parted in two so Israel can go between the waters. That's Moses. Same staff. He's going up on the hill. He's going to be up on the hill. Israel is down in the valley fighting. Now, the people of Amalek had a larger army that was both stronger and more fierce than that of Israel. But Israel had one thing that Amalek did not. Do you know what that is? They had the Lord God Almighty. Moses stood at the top of the hill overlooking the battle. And as long as he kept his arms up, Israel was winning. But when Moses' arms got tired and he brought them down, Israel started losing. And two men had to come up and hold each of his arms up. And as long as Moses' arms up, they were winning the battle. And eventually, Israel did win the battle. Now, that's kind of weird. Why did Moses have to have his arms up? I mean, what was that all about? Well, you see, in Old Testament times, having your arms raised was a posture of prayer. And as long as Moses was praying, Israel was winning. As long as Moses was praying, God was moving. 1 Timothy 2 says, "In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy." You see, God doesn't need our prayers, but he chooses to move in response to prayer, and he will not move without it. Because prayer is about a relationship. It's about a friendship, one that God strongly desires to have with each and every one of us. But God doesn't just want you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to love him back. And he wants you to show him your love through prayer. Remember what God has done for you and respond. And as we close today, I've asked our elders and Mel and Isaiah to come forward and lead us in an exercise. Just like with Moses, God wants to move among us. He wants to move among us in response to us seeking him in prayer. And just like with Moses, what I'm about to ask you to do, I know it's coming out of your comfort zone a little bit because this isn't something that we normally do. But if you are able, I would like you to stand in just a moment, and we're going to lift our hands as we pray together. And I would like you to keep them lifted, but like I said, only if you are able to do so. As we go along, your arms are going to get tired. I mean, Moses' arms got tired, right? I mean, our arms are going to get tired too. But if you want to raise just one hand, that's fine. Maybe your arm is getting tired and you want to lower that one and put another one up. That's fine too. Maybe you're the kind of person that likes switching it up. Maybe you like to have one arm up here. Maybe you use both hands. I mean, that's fine too if you want to switch it up. If you want to go all in and raise your arms really high because the Cowboys just scored a touchdown, I mean, do it. I want you to participate, and like I said, I know this is coming out of your comfort zone a little bit, but I don't want you to be uncomfortable while we're doing this. So we're going to pray, and everyone can go ahead and come forward, who needs to come forward. We're going to pray for God to do some amazing things among us. If we pursue him in relationship through prayer, he'll heal our hearts, he'll heal our churches, he'll heal our community, he'll heal our nation, he would even heal the world. If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. Let's go ahead and stand. And however you want to do it, I'm asking you to lift up some hands in prayer. Don't be shy. I know it's different. All right. Thank you, guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you, and we know that you gave your life on the cross for us. We know that you came and died a painful death so that we could have relationship with you, and you rose again so that we could be with you in heaven. And God, we just want to praise you and thank you for all that you do, and we are asking you to move among us. We thank you in Jesus' holy name.
And Lord, we continue this prayer, Lord, praying for the youth, Lord, the schools, that they'll be protected, Lord, that our children will continue to reap the harvest of our hard work. And as their hard work continues, Lord, we ask that they continue to accept the gift. And if they haven't accepted the gift, Lord, they will find it, they'll receive it, and Lord, they'll know what to do with it, Lord. They will hear your calling, they'll answer it, and perform the deeds that you need to be done, Lord. We thank you for giving us the children, Lord, for that we know there'll be the generation to continue their work, or continue your work, Lord. We will pray over their lives, and thank you, Jesus, for them.
Father God, we are an imperfect people, and we are ill-equipped to do anything without you, Lord. But Lord, you bless us, and you equip us in your own way to meet the needs of your people, Father. Lord, I want to pray a blessing right now on our local missions, on Heartland, on the Community Clothesline, on Nioga Food Pantry, Lord, on Oil Belt, on Oblong Children's Home, on Christian Campus House, Lord, and all the other missions, all the other groups out there, Lord, right now that are trying to serve your people, that are working diligently, that are pressing on. Father, please bless them. And for those groups internationally, Lord, Compassion and Operation Christmas Child, and Rafa House and Thirst Missions and all of these groups, Father, I lift them up to you and I beg you, Lord, to equip them, provide for them, give them what they need. Help us be their prayer partners. Help us be their financial support partners, Lord, and give them what they need so they can reach the lost for you, Father. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name.
Lord, we're so grateful for what you do for us. I especially pray for revival in this church as well as our community and surrounding communities, Lord. Open the hearts of those people, Lord. Help them to receive you in their heart. I just pray that we all collectively try to serve you in the best way possible, to worship you and also to serve you each and every day throughout the community so others may see your presence in our lives, Lord. And help us to bring others to your family, Lord. I just pray for the upspring of your Holy Spirit just descending on all of us, Lord, and surrounding communities, Lord, to praise you and to glorify you with their lives. In Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, as I continue to humble myself and all of ourselves here, we just want to pray for the ones that are sick, ones that might be dealing with cancer or stuck in drugs or alcohol. Your great name is Jehovah Rapha. You heal us physically, morally, and spiritually. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come here to lift those ones up that we're praying for. And Father, you ask us to do this because you want a relationship with us. Lord, I just pray that each one of us, Father, would be willing to come to you each day, daily, and so that we could all have a relationship with you. Lord, I just ask for... I'd like to lift our government leaders up, our president, our senators and representatives, and those ones, Father, who run our country with our wishes. Lord, I just ask that you would have government leaders in there who seek you daily and ones who would come to you for guidance and wisdom and understanding. And I just ask that you would help them to make decisions after seeking you for help. It's in your precious Son's name that I do pray.
Oh, Jesus, you are perfect and holy. Your righteousness, your mercy, your grace, your omnipotence and omniscience. We tremble before you, Father, as you are glorious and in your glorious throne. We thank you for the opportunity of being able to come before such a mighty God, such a holy God, such a perfect God, and to worship at your feet. Father, we thank you for Jesus and his blood. It's in his name we pray.
Heavenly Father, we do praise you for Jesus. We praise you for calling us into your family. We praise you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to know you and to worship you and to be before you in prayer. Lord, as we go through this prayer series, I pray that you would stir our hearts with a greater passion and desire, Lord, to know you, to gain the confidence as we spend time with you every day in that relationship. Lord, thank you for allowing us. I pray for our church family that all of us, wherever we are today, would make that decision to take the next step, whether that's to surrender their life to you, or whether that's to recommit themselves, or maybe to invest in someone else and disciple them. I just pray, Lord, that as we grow closer to you in prayer, that we would all take the next step in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, anybody leave their hands up the whole time? Because you are awesome.